podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome, fight fans, to this Fight Week special, and it's all about remembering 29 years ago. 29 years ago, Lennox Lewis and Frank Bruno contested for the WBC Heavyweight Championship of the World in Cardiff. And that was the last time two Brits got it on for the World Heavyweight Championship in the UK. And this coming weekend, it happens once again at Wembley Stadium as Tyson Fury and Dillian White go at it for the WBC and the Ring Heavyweight Championships of the World. Johnston, this is our episode to remember 29 years ago and remember the last time something as big as this happened here in the UK concerning the World Heavyweight Championship. And I'm delighted to be speaking about two fighters that we grew up watching. We had Frank Bruno on one hand, who was loved by the nation, and then you had Lennox Lewis, the British-born Canadian who came back to Britain and adopted his native country and became a heavyweight champion and went on to do wonders in this sport. I'm excited for this one. I think it's a great addition to the fight week of Tyson Fury and Dillian White.
It is. I was like 11 years old by this point. I was just about to turn 11. So it was an early one. It was early morning, really late for me. So I do have memories of my brother who was, 19, 20. So I remember him being excited. I was excited through him and my dad. I remember my dad and my mum. That was sort of the whole family. I say my mum, they weren't together. So I was sort of in between houses. And I do remember this fondly. I didn't watch the fight. I'll be quite honest with you. I wasn't allowed to stay up till that time, but I do remember waking up, finding out how Bruno got on the next day, and hearing the terrible news that he didn't win again. So yeah, I have fond memories, and then obviously I did manage to finally watch it later on in life. But yeah, I mean, it's a good one to remember, and it's got parallels, of course, to Tyson Fury and Dillian White, and it just matches superbly with that fight in particular that's coming up in only a couple of days now.
So we're going to have a little bit of a sprinkle of legendary nights included in this episode, put a bit of context to both fighters as we do for legendary nights, and we'll talk about the fight, our memories of it and the aftermath of it, and obviously add a little bit on the end about Fury versus White. We have got our main preview show if you want to check that out regarding all things analysis on Fury White, but we'll add a little bit on the end of this one. So without further ado, let's get into the context behind this fight. Now, Frank Bruno had a record of 28 wins and one defeat against James Bonecrusher Smith before he got his first shot at a world title on July the 19th, 1986 at Wembley Stadium against the WBA title holder, Tim Witherspoon. Now, the fight took place at 1 a.m. in the morning to accommodate for primetime American television. The 40,000 fans in attendance were hoping to witness Frank Bruno become the first British-born heavyweight champion since Bob Fitzsimmons, but instead, they witnessed a fat and out of shape Tim Witherspoon stopped the British challenger in the 11th round. The Associated Press wrote about this fight and they said, past the 2-minute mark of the 11th round, Bruno landed a 3-punch series to the head. Then Witherspoon crashed home with an overhand right that sent Bruno reeling into a neutral corner. Bruno escaped, but Witherspoon, seeing the end was near, slammed 3 more overhand rights that dropped Bruno to a sitting position in Witherspoon's corner. The towel was immediately thrown in from Bruno's corner.
Yeah, Bruno, the first attempt and the first foul. We're going to jump over to Lennox Lewis. So in the summer of 1986, Lennox Lewis was actually collecting a gold medal for Canada. 2 years later, Lewis travelled to Seoul in South Korea for the 1988 Summer Olympics and took the gold medal home, defeating Riddick Bowe, who will come on to this in a little bit later, in the second round after the referee stopped the contest. Lewis turned professional and moved back to his birthplace in England, claiming that he had always considered himself to be British. But many British fans regarded him as a Canadian at heart and a Briton for convenience. In 2015, Lewis did actually admit that he needed to come over to England so he could progress his career. When I turned pro, I had to go to the United Kingdom in order to pursue my career. The infrastructure to develop boxers wasn't in Canada then. Lewis then went on to sign with the promoter, Frank Maloney, now known as Kelly Maloney, instead of an offer that someone who offered him a contract, which was Bob Arum. So he turned him down and decided to sign with Frank.
By 1988, Frank Bruno had put his loss to Witherspoon behind him and won four on the bounce, all by knockout, with his most notable victories coming against James Tillis and Joe Bugner. His run of form in 1987 led him to become the number one contender for the undisputed heavyweight championship of the world, who was Mike Tyson at 35-0. Originally scheduled for September 1988 at Wembley Stadium, Tyson, well, he had a chaotic year, as he did then, to say the least, with changes in management, divorces, car crashes, and of course, that darker side of boxing, Mitch Green incident. So the fight ended up being shifted from London to Las Vegas Hilton in Nevada, and finally was reset for February the 25th, 1989. Bruno challenged Tyson for the WBA, WBC, IBF and the ring heavyweight titles. But it was another night of disappointment for the Londoner. Bruno was stopped in the fifth round, but prior to that he did manage to rock Tyson for the first time in his career with a left hook, which actually urged the commentator, the late great Harry Carpenter, to yell, "Get in there, Frank!" Not only did Carpenter enjoy Bruno's brave performance, but he also finished second to golfer Nick Faldo in the 1989 BBC Sports Personality of the Year Awards.
Oh dear, another failed attempt. That's number two for Bruno. But for Lennox Lewis, he actually debuted on June 29, 1989 at the Royal Albert Hall. And obviously we're not going to run through his career, but we're going to jump straight to August 11, 1992, which was his next fight, and that was Mike Dixon. He had actually rattled off 21 straight victories, and 19 of those come by stoppage. Actually, it was 18, I think, one disqualification. He won the European, the Commonwealth, and the British heavyweight titles, defeated decent names along the way, the likes of Ozzy Oscario, Gary Mace, Weaver, Glenn McCrory, Tyrell Biggs and Levi Billups. His big moment came before Riddick Bowe defeated Evander Holyfield to win the Undisputed World Heavyweight Championship on November 13, 1992. Now, Riddick Bowe actually signed an agreement with the WBC to make his first title defence if he beats Holyfield against the winner of the title eliminator between Lennox Lewis and Donovan Ruddock. Bowe won, as did Lewis, by a second round at Earl's Court Exhibition Hall in Kensington, London, on Halloween in 1992. And this also impressed a certain Larry Merchant, who actually declared, "We have a great new heavyweight."
Therefore, the WBC gave Bowe and Lewis until December the 13th to reach an agreement, or the fight would go to a purse bid. If Bowe refused to meet Lewis, the WBC title would be awarded to him. Negotiations failed, in which Bowe's manager, Rock Newman, demanded a ridiculous request of a 90-10 split, which Lewis, of course, initially refused, but then agreed against Maloney's advice. He would have earned $3 million. But then, Bowe changed his mind, and Newman harshly described Lewis a small fry, and he said, "I don't think Lennox Lewis is a chicken, but he is a legend in his own mind. He's a household name in his own house. He brings very little to the table. If the people in the States were asked who Lennox Lewis was, they probably would say he's the boxing promoter who doesn't wear a shirt, confusing him with Butch Lewis."
Absolute cock. I suppose this is where it sort of draws our first comparison, because we will be doing this along the way. We're just going to slightly bring in Dillian White and Tyson Fury. And as a comparison for the big fight weekend, Dillian White actually refused initial offers, resulting in their fight going to a purse bid, which Tyson Fury's British promoter, Frank Warren, and American promoter, Bob Arum, won with a 30 million quid offer and actually beat White's promoter, obviously Eddie Irma, who put in 23 million. Now, both were record bids in the entire history of boxing. And it was actually an 80-20% split was agreed in favour of the champion Tyson Fury. The split relates to 90% of the overall winning bid, which is $27 million. Now, because the promoter must deposit the 10% as such, Fury will thus take home approximately $21.5 million and White will receive $5.5 million, but the winner will pocket an additional 10%. Deposit of $3 million. Before we stick that in there, because the fact is it was a 90-10 offer with Riddick Bowe. I think we will say that in a minute that Lennox Lewis would have walked away, or as you did say, with $3 million. Dillian White walking away with $5.5 million as a contender. It's just a comparison to today that, you know, the money isn't much different. I think Bowe would have earned about $20 or $19 million himself. Now, jumping back to Bowe, and a few months later, Riddick Bowe did deposit his WBC belt into the London dustbin, and the WBC retrieved it and presented it to Lennox Lewis on January 14, 1993. And his promoter, Frank Maloney, said that he tried to get the belt that Bowe had thrown away. But when he asked for it, someone in the hotel, actually an employee, said, oh, no, it was I was told to take this up to Mr. Bowe's hotel room. So I think it was a bit of a massive publicity stunt, and Bowe probably hoped to get that belt back. It didn't. So, yeah, just the first little comparison there between the splits that Bowe offered Lewis back then to what Dillian White and Tyson Fury are getting for this fight on Saturday.
Well, Frank Maloney also declared to throw the belt in the dustbin was disgraceful. There was no need to do that. He was very right. The British-born and Canadian-bred Lennox Lewis was now, as some of his British media maintained, our first heavyweight champion since Bob Fitzsimmons, even if he had won the title while relaxing on the beaches of Montego Bay in Jamaica. It was from his sun lounge that Lewis declared, I'm still chasing him, as in Riddick Bowe. Hopefully I will catch him and get the other two belts. He's running fast, but I'm right behind him. But after a pause, he corrected himself and he said, no, I'm even with him. Now, many boxing experts and fans have always questioned who was in the wrong when negotiations failed between Lewis and Bowe. But it was pretty evident, as you said, Johnson, that Bowe was badly advised by Rock Newman and that he actually allowed him to miss the opportunity to fight Lewis in a fight that he was more than capable of winning. I mean, if we compare this with Fury versus White, it'd be like Fury dumping his WBC world title in the bin before their negotiations go into a purse bid. And if that had have happened, Fury would surely have been accused of ducking. And social media, well, it would have been off the Richter scale because people would have been saying Tyson Fury's ducking Dillian White. And fortunately for us, that's not happened.
Yeah, thankfully it did go to a purse bid. But yeah, it just shows you. There's not much changed in 29 years, believe it or not. But obviously, thankfully, Bruno didn't decide to dash the WBC belt away. Back to Bruno. And Bruno managed to reel off four wins on the bounce following that Mike Tyson defeat from November 1991 to April 24, 1993, when he stopped Carl Williams in 10 rounds at the National Exhibition Centre in Birmingham. The following month, on May 8, 1993, Lewis took a points decision over Tony Tucker at the Thomas and Mack Centre in Nevada, making his first successful defence of the WBC heavyweight title. And that nicely set up a fight between Frank Bruno and Lennox Lewis. The British beef and bad blood is what many described it as. And this was, Lewis was, I wouldn't say he was forced into it, but he was in a position, a bit of a shit year, wanted to fight Bowe, didn't get that fight, as we've already mentioned. And many were asking for Bruno, and he gave Bruno his chance. And this was Bruno's third chance as well. Now, this fight, believe it or not, actually took place just 3 months after the murder of Stephen Lawrence. Now, I was around at this time, and racial tensions are, you know, I can't help but not remember this. And many of us that live in England, and especially in London, just in England and in Britain in general, know how much of a significant moment that was in the racial tensions in the country, which were built up to the Battle of Britain, was a very tense affair between Frank Bruno, the darling of England and one of the most popular sports athletes in the country, and Lennox Lewis, the British pretender, as many like to describe him, who was always trying to intrude and muscle in number one. But Bruno weren't ready to step aside, and most of the British public were not ready to let him go either.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Now, the boxing journalist Colin Hart explained why the country showed so much admiration and affection for Bruno, and he said, "In this country, we are known to love good losers. And Frank is a good loser." Not a great advert for Frank Bruno, of course, but it's the truth. Now, the New York Times reported on August 10th, 1993, on the bad blood between the pair going into their fight, with British roots being the main source of their dispute. Now, Bruno had previously described Lewis as not British and that nobody cares about Lennox Lewis in Britain before they met at St. Regis Hotel in Manhattan at a news conference. The New York Times wrote, "The challenger, Bruno, likes to describe himself as a Union Jack Briton. I'm a little bit dark, but I was born in Hammersmith. To Bruno, this fight isn't about who the real Briton is anymore. It's gone beyond that. It's about boxing. I'm sick and tired of his pretenses. He calls himself champion. He acts like he's a Sugar Ray Leonard or a Willie Pep or a Joe Louis. He took that title out of the dustbin." And Louis actually snarled when told that Bruno hardly considers him a fellow Briton. Louis left his native England when he was 12 to move to Canada. And he said, "What was I supposed to do? Not follow my mother to Canada? Look, I've fought more British fighters than that guy has. He makes a fool of himself dressing up in girls' clothing on television, referring to Frank Bruno's appearances on a lot of shows and a lot of Saturday night television. He was the darling of the UK at that time."
He was. He was in a few pantos, I believe, as well. I think that's probably where girls' clothing on television came from. But there was a clear dislike. They detested each other. And I would say that it was almost like, because the tension was so high, was there, although they were, you know, they're both black fighters, but we'll go into that in a second. And it was during that same conference in Manhattan that Bruno actually turned to Lewis and said, "I'm going to hit you upside your head so hard you won't even know if you're Canadian, Jamaican." The debate of nationalities continued well after the fight was done and dusted, when Bruno actually explained in his autobiography years later, "I'd never thought of Lennox as British. He may have come back now and again, but he grew up in Canada. He sounds like a Canadian. To me, he is Canadian. He won an Olympic gold, and good luck to him. The Olympics are all about doing it for your country, and millions of Canadians must have been very proud of him." The trash talking turned very nasty and personal for Bruno's liking when Lewis actually summoned his inner Muhammad Ali and he called his rival, which upset Bruno very much, so much so that he took legal action against Lennox Lewis. The legal writ that was issued was never served, but years later Bruno said in an interview with the Independent newspaper that, "I'm not a racist, you know, whether it's white, yellow, Pakistani, Indian, Nigerian, whatever. Who am I to call someone Uncle Tom? That is a low life thing to do, because my mum is the same age as Lewis's mum, and our mums are both Jamaican. My dad's Dominican. So where does he get that logic of me wanting to be an Uncle Tom? A lot of people said I paved the way for black British boxers to do very well. Lennox Lewis said some gross things.
Lennox Lewis calling Frank Bruno and Uncle Tom the same way that Muhammad Ali did it to not just Joe Frazier, but he did it to Ernie Terrell as well, if you remember. He loved calling people Uncle Toms. He was a bit like that, Muhammad Ali, as you well know. But Lennox Lewis doing it, God, there was a lot of animosity between the two. And you forget how much animosity there was between the two. You know, people look back on this in this generation and they think of Lennox Lewis beating Frank Bruno, but they forget this was genuinely, there was beef between them. There really was a lot of beef between them. If you look back on the interviews now and you see them together, you can see how much there was disdain for each other going into this fight.
Oh, there really was. And it was just one of them things where I think how time was at that moment, and the race element came into it, and Bruno being the people's champion, I suppose. And that's what the fans see it as. And Lewis is trying to sort of push his way in, but he sees it as he's trying to become the number one in Britain. That he had fought in Britain from his debut. For me, you know, he'll always be British. You know, he's born here. He went off to Canada. Yes, he fought under the Olympic banner. And I understand where Bruno's coming from. And I could understand back then, I mean, being around it, people saying, hey, he ain't British. He's flipping Canadian. But you know what? I mean, as years have gone by, you know, 29 years on, for me, he's British. He's a British boxing legend.
Yeah, absolutely a British boxing legend. I agree with that. I mean, that's a debate for a different day, but this particular fight, the tale of the tape for Lewis and Bruno, and we'll do a tale of the tape for Fury and White, something we've not done for our preview show. So, Lewis and Bruno going into this fight, Lennox the Lion Lewis, as he was known, was 23-0 with 19 KOs, and he was 28 years old going into this fight. Obviously, he was from London, England. That's where he was hailing from. He was hailing at 6'5", 229 pounds. Lennox Lewis had the combined opponent record. So the combined opponent record is basically all the opponents he fought and their records combined. Now, before the Bruno fight, it was at 458 wins, 178 losses and 15 draws. Now, at this moment in time, this was actually Lewis's second defence of the WBC Heavyweight Championship. Now, Frank Bruno, known as True Brit, was 36-3 with 35 KOs and he was 31 years of age. Also from London, England, he hailed at 6'3" and 238 pounds and his combined opponent record was 801 wins, 243 losses and 35 draws. His recognition going into the fight was he was the number 5 ranked heavyweight in 3 sanctioning bodies, the WBA, the WBC and the IBF. Now, just as a little parallel, we're going to go into the tail of the tape for this weekend's fight with Tyson, the Gypsy King Fury, at 31-0-1 with 22 KOs. He's at 33 years of age. He's from Manchester. He's 6'9", and he was 277 pounds in his last fight. Obviously, we've not recorded it at the time of him weighing in, so we don't know what his weighing's actually going to be until tomorrow. But I imagine around about 250, 260 pounds will come into this fight. His combined opponent record is 712, 182 losses and 17 draws on his record. Recognition for Tyson Fury. Well, this is the second defence of his WBC Heavyweight Championship and, of course, the Ring Lineal Heavyweight Championship. Dillian White, the body snatcher, is 28-2 with 19 KOs and he's 35 years of age. And he hails from London, England, 6'4", 247 and a quarter pounds in his last fight. Albeit, I think he'll be a little bit lighter and he's weighing tomorrow. And his combined opponent record for Dillian White is 515 wins, 291 losses and 33 draws. Now again, his recognition. Why is he fighting for this title? Well, he holds the WBC interim title. But he's actually unranked in the WBO, WBA and IBF. But is actually considered by many as the fourth or fifth best heavyweight in the world today.
This is David Eason from the Bet Bites podcast here on the Sports Social Network, and we are the Bite Size Betting Podcast with previews and events from across the weekend, each dealt with in under 90 seconds, with the whole preview for the week complete in 20 minutes. Now then, let's have a look at the big fight at Wembley. Where are we going with Fury against White? Well, Fury is the short favourite, but you can turn the 1-6 outright into a 7-2 if you think he stops him in the first six rounds. It's 7-4 for the second half of the fight, and 6-1 if you think this ends with a Fury win in rounds 10-12. The Fury KO is 8-11 with a points win for the Gypsy King at 5-2. Now, can White actually do this? Well, he's 8-1 for a knockout victory, 9-2 just to win it any way possible. The traders think if he's going to knock Fury out, it'll be just after the halfway stage. It's 12-1 for between rounds 5 and 8. And that draw, not another one, is 25-1. White on points may be the way forward. That's a huge 25-1 as well. Thank you to the BTR lads for getting involved. You can hear their thoughts with us on BetFight this week, with football, Super League and F1 all covered there too. Enjoy the fight and have a great weekend.
Yeah, that's a crazy one, that, isn't it? I'm ranked in all those three organisations in the top 15. I don't understand why they do that. I mean, but it just shows you back in the day with Bruno, ranked five across three organisations. Pretty much the same, but barring the WBO, which wasn't in there at the time, wasn't considered as big. Yeah, really strange, but definitely the fourth or fifth best heavyweight. So we're just going to go into some, now you've broke down, you've done a tale of the tape of all four fighters. Obviously, we are doing, it is all about Bruno Lewis, but it's good to do these comparisons. And the fight comparisons itself, I mean, Lennox Lewis and Tyson Fury both held the same WBC heavyweight title. Lewis made his second defense against Bruno, as will Fury when he faces Dillian White. Bruno went into the fight with Lewis as an underdog, as will Dillian White against Fury. But a victory for the Brixton man would surely be more of a shock. Both champions have or had the height advantage, although White gives away 4 inches compared to Bruno, who only gave away 2 inches shorter. Lewis Bruno was the first time in history that two British-born boxers fought each other for a world heavyweight title. Fury White is the second, 29 years later on. Both fights are held at the national stadiums. Lewis and Bruno in the outside of Cardiff Park Arms in Wales, and Fury White at Wembley Stadium. Lewis and Bruno was promoted by Frank Maloney, Panix Promotions, UK-based, and by the Duvers Main Events, US-based. White Fury, promoted by Frank Warren, Queensbury Promotions, the UK-based one, and Bob Arum, Top Rank. Very similar again. And then Fury and White is a pay-per-view event on ESPN in the United States, BT Sports in Britain. Lewis Bruno was also a pay-per-view event, and that was on HBO in America and Sky Sports in the UK.
A lot of parallels, isn't there, going into this fight with Fury versus White and this Lewis Bruno fight. And I think that's why it was so good for us to throw this together just ahead of the fight happening, because, you know, this does have some eerie comparisons. The only thing that's really not gone into this is there's not been a lot of bad blood. Obviously, we've seen now since we recorded our preview earlier in the week that, you know, there's been a lot of respect shown between one another in the final press conference ahead of the fight. And obviously tomorrow on Friday, when the weigh-in happens, I'm sure there'll be more respect between the two. They know each other quite well outside of the ring, and there's never been any real disdain. There's been a lot of shit on social media, of course, back and forth, as you do all the time to promote yourself as a heavyweight and in boxing, but in general it was a very respectful press conference. But back to this and the pre-fight between Lewis and Bruno. Now, it actually rained all week leading up to the fight, and the forecast on the night was for more of the same, so some extra regulations had to be drawn up in the event of the fight being rained off. Sports Illustrated explained if it had have been rained off or raining at the start, there would have been a 24-hour postponement. If the fight had been halted by weather before 3 rounds were completed, it would have been ruled a technical draw. However, if the rain had begun falling past the 3rd round, the man ahead on the judges' scorecards at the point would have been declared the winner. A very bit of interesting information there. It's something that I don't think we've probably seen since. Now, a total of 25,784 spectators attended the fight, which started at 1 a.m. again to facilitate the American audience, with the boxing world looking on. The referee for the fight was Mickey Van from Britain, and the judges were Tony Castellano, Jerry Roth, both from the United States, and Adrian Morgan from Britain. Bruno entered the ring with his boots taped inside a couple of plastic bags, while Lewis, apparently, before the fight, had a little sleep.
Yes, right. Really funny. A few people said he slept for about 45 minutes. Others say he's literally got the last knockings. Kelly Maloney, Frank Maloney, we probably should say, apparently give him a knock and tell him to wake up and get out there. The fight itself, we're going to go into the fight with a bit of detail. I'll do the first part, you jump in, second part, Sean. So not necessarily round by round, but the fight didn't actually start until 1:05 a.m. the next day. First round was very close, very, very close call. But Lewis may have just shaved it with his jab. Bruno went on the offensive and took the second round as both men proved the Battle of Britain was the perfect billing as they traded heavy blows. Bruno hit Lewis on the right of his head in the third round, which clearly did shake him for a moment, although he later said, "It didn't hurt me." Whether Lewis felt it or not, it was Bruno who actually led 29-28 after the third round on all three cards. If the rain had fallen at that moment, he would have been crowned the WBC heavyweight champion of the world. As we know, the rain never came. But Bruno continued to land his jabs, which gradually turned the left side of Lewis's face swollen and bloody, forcing the champion to fight then on the back foot. Now, at the end of the sixth round, many ringside observers had Bruno well ahead, as did Sports Illustrated as well. But both Castellano and Roth had the fight level at 57-57, with Morgan scoring the fight 59-55 in favour of Bruno, which many had. I watched it the other night and I side with that 59-55. In the first minute of the seventh round, Bruno hit Lewis with a left jab and followed up with a series of short punches. Lewis was adamant once again this didn't hurt him. He thought he had me, but actually, I just lost my footing. I saw every punch coming.
Of course you did, Lennox. Of course you did. Any excuse to save face of an incident, which clearly looked like to me he was getting hurt by Frank Bruno at this point. But as so often in heavyweight boxing, only one punch it takes to change the course of a fight, as Lewis unleashed a vicious uppercut on Bruno's chin, signalling the beginning of the end. But it was Lewis's looping left hook which staggered his challenger. Lewis said he read the situation and he said, "I saw him pulling back to throw a right hand and I hit him with a perfect hook, which everybody said I didn't have." And he continued with a series of head punches which left Bruno stunned with his head stationary, but momentary break by the referee during the onslaught gave him the opportunity to recover. Mickey Van admitted later, "I knew I was giving Bruno a few extra minutes to recover. But a foul is a foul." Lewis was warned by Mickey Van for holding, but it only delayed the inevitable outcome, and the very next flourish was it. Upon resuming, Lewis finished off a motionless and defenceless Frank Bruno, who was slumped on the ropes with hands down and on unsteady legs, and completely unable to defend himself. After a few more needless and unanswered punches, Mickey Van stepped in again, but this time it was to stop the fight 1 minute and 12 seconds into the seventh round in what was a brutal, pretty brutal ending. And it felt like Lennox Lewis was taking all of that bad blood between the two of them and unleashing it in that moment.
He really was. And it was a great finish. And I think Mickey Van probably didn't really need to intervene. It was sort of holding the head and hitting him, Lewis. I could sort of see why. And then it was just literally, he delayed it. He probably should have just countered him at that point. It didn't look like Bruno was ever recover. It just wasn't how it was to be. And we all know when we're sort of in those rounds, it's very similar. Again, I mean, I can't help pull, when I watched this fight recently, I can't help but pull comparisons on sort of Frank Bruno and Dillian White and how I sort of see the fight going this Saturday with, you know, Dillian White does gas. He has those moments where he needs a break. And I think Bruno was pretty much the same as sort of Joshua as well. A lot of people compare Bruno and Joshua, but in actual fact, when you look at it, maybe not their physique, but in terms of Dillian White, I think he has those quiet moments and Bruno had two. And I think Lewis put his foot down and got rid of him. And it's sort of a, It's your prediction, I think, Sean. That's basically what you're saying. A bit later on, but it's not far off, and I can sort of see it coming up. But onto the aftermath quickly, and Frank Maloney, or Kelly Maloney, we should probably say, said afterwards that, "I think there was too much pride up there, and both boys forgot their boxing. That was a real war up there. That was savage." Now, it was actually rumoured as well that Maloney actually said to Laura Bruno after the fight, "That's boxing." And Laura spat in his face, apparently. A battered Bruno was had damaged pride, and he said, "I'm a better fighter than I've been given credit for." And to be, that absolutely is true. The post-fight press conference was not all pally-pally affair either. There was mutual respect there. The insults had cut both men too deep for immediate repair, and it would take years before it was forgiven but never forgotten. Bruno, although revealed years later, "I was never one to hold a grudge." Lewis, for all his achievements after the Bruno win, could never really replace Frank in the hearts of the British public. Not entirely. The boxing British public, yes, but not the general public. Very similar to when Emery Cooper lost to Joe Buckner in 1971. Perhaps with the beauty of hindsight, Lewis's victory and the attempt to turn the public against Bruno was the reason for that. Possibly. Bruno may have lost in the ring, but as usual, he came out the winner.
Now, just weeks later, Nigel Benn and Chris Eubank actually met for their epic rematch. Bruno would, of course, go on to win a world title against Oliver McCall 2 years later. And moments after he told the world, "I'm not an Uncle Tom," and was on the verge of tears. And that was after he beat Oliver McCall. And them words stuck with him, them Uncle Tom words stuck with him, even 2 years after the fact. And as we know, Lewis went on to become a British boxing legend, defeating many greats and avenging all of his losses. So with that in mind, with Fury and White only 2 days away, we are all hoping that we can be treated to another unforgettable British classic. So we're going to leave you with a bit of a segment from our good friend, and I say that sarcastically, our good friend Steve Bunce, who was actually there that night between Lewis and Bruno, and he says, "The final seconds were arguably the most savage ever seen in a British fight ring. There was too much pride on a night of storms. Bruno was left in wasteland, his face swollen, his heart broken, and Lewis was dragged off, still snarling and trying to throw punches. It did, at that moment, only barely qualify as sport." That description could easily be mirroring the actions of Tyson Fury and Dillian White this coming Saturday night. And after doing this episode, I'm getting quite excited about the fight now.
It is it's a great fight. I mean, look, we thought we'd put this together because it is like a little special. And the fact is, we've only ever had two British bomb fighters fight for a world heavyweight title. What the fuck is going on? Let's be honest. I mean, 29 years later, it doesn't seem quite right, does it? I think we've had opportunities. I think Fury, Joshua, I mean, with the British guys that are around at the moment, there should be more British bomb fighters fighting for world heavyweight titles. But let's see what happens on Saturday. But I can't wait. This is just, it's got the pulse racing. And yeah, I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to it.
It's been a great little episode to put together. I've enjoyed talking about Lewis versus Bruno, the memories of it, the bad blood in the lead up to it, the savagery of the ending of the fight, a lot of the parallels to Fury versus White this coming weekend. But again, who's going to win? We've made our predictions on the show, the preview show, so please go and listen to that for more in detail analysis prior to this coming weekend. We've really enjoyed putting this little special together for you, remembering 29 years on the parallels between Lennox Lewis, Frank Bruno, Dillian White and Tyson Fury. We hope you enjoy the big fight this weekend, fight fans, and we'll see you next time.
Podcast Network.